He retreated even farther up the bank toward the unclimbable rock face, now less than 6 feet behind them, watching in the moonlight as the river grew higher and faster, its course twisted by the quake. More broken branches of trees were carried swiftly by, with a large white bird, like a heron, dangling dead among them. Clouds were drifting across the face of the moon, darkening the canyon, making it impossible to see anything that might be happening on the far northern bank.
We're in trouble, Trader.
Always a way out. Over, under, around, or through.
Trader grinned at Ryan as he trotted out what was probably the best known of his many sayings.
Looks like under to me.
The quake had faded now, and the swollen river had reached their ankles. They were backed up against the cliff wall with nowhere else to go. The solid bank where they'd spent the night was being washed away, cutting their footing. Ryan had managed to grab the stire, and he adjusted the strap across his shoulders.
Gone swimming, Trader.
Could do with a bath. Meant to have a dip in the river this morning anyway.
There was another trembling shock, which brought a shower of small pebbles and earth down on top of the two men as they cowered in the lee of the cliff. Trader pointed upstream.
Look! Coming on down the pike for us!
It was another uprooted tree, a big willow, most of its smaller, feathery branches stripped away by the tumbling waters and the grinding rocks.
It's too far out.
Can't wait for anything better.
Trader didn't bother to see if Ryan was following him, throwing himself into the muddied river and striking out on a diagonal course that he hoped would bring him up against the tree.
Fire blast!
The Steyr SSG-70 banged painfully on the back of his neck as he half-dove, half-fell into the foaming torrent. The waves were rolling and breaking all around Ryan, making it dangerously difficult to see where he was going, or to calculate just what he needed to do to try to make contact with the racing length of timber. Rising and falling, he blinked water from his eye, glimpsing Trader only a few feet ahead of him, and the jagged branches of the willow, less than 20 yards away, moving fast toward him. Ryan kicked out desperately, knowing that it would likely prove fatal to miss the tree. With nothing to bear him up, he would have little chance of surviving the maelstrom of rapids that he knew waited a little farther down the canyon. Something brushed against his right arm, and he grabbed at it. But it was only a short, brittle branch off another tree, not even large enough to support a starved rat. Ryan pushed it away and gave it one last, long, bursting effort. His elbow was jolted, and he snatched upward, finding the solid smoothness of the tree. But it was slipping inexorably past him, going faster than he was. Despite all of his attempts, Ryan knew with chilling certainty that he wasn't going to make it. Then he felt roughness, with long fronds as thick as a man's finger. It was the root end of the willow's trunk. Despite the weight of water in his clothes, Ryan managed to heave himself up, pausing to draw breath and look around him. He spotted Trader immediately, face as white as parchment in the stark moonlight. Trader had managed to lock an arm around the stump of one of the broken side branches, hanging on helplessly, dragged along, unable to pull himself up onto the main trunk. His mouth opened as he saw Ryan appear above and behind him, but the roar of the river drowned his words. There was a brief second of recognition in Ryan's memory, seeing the flickering, scratched remnants of a pre-dark video about men hunting a huge white whale. The captain had been dragged under, caught in a web of harpoons and ropes, tugged through the ocean by the rampaging beast. For a moment, Ryan looked ahead, seeing the vast walls of sandstone towering high above them. They were going unbelievably fast, racing through the solid water. About a quarter mile farther down, the canyon angled sharply to the right. There was a great wall of mist from what had to be a major stretch of rapids. If Trader was to be saved, Ryan had to haul him aboard the willow before they reached that bend. Ryan threw himself flat, his right hand reaching for Trader, who clutched at it with his left hand. The right still gripping the precarious hold on the stump of the broken branch, there was only going to be the one chance. Once they were plummeted into the raging passage of broken water immediately ahead of them, Trader's hope of survival would evaporate. The deathly strength of the old man's grip took Ryan by surprise and nearly brought disaster. His own fingers were cold and numb, and when Trader clamped onto his hand, Ryan nearly let go. But he managed to sustain his balance on the tree, leaning back and holding upward. The moment Trader let go of the tree was the most hazardous. Thrown back and downward with his full weight tripled by the powerful drag of the river, Ryan was nearly thrown on top of him. For a splinter of time, it seemed that they were frozen, balanced together, like a classical piece of statuary. Ryan faced forward on the tree trunk, but the full impact of Traitor was pulling backward behind him.
Move, you bastard!
But Ryan knew that his old leader couldn't possibly hear him. There was a final convulsive struggle, and Traitor was up, using the same matted root section that had helped Ryan to clamber onto the willow. But there was no time for rejoicing. They were into the maelstrom. The surface of the trunk had occasional blemishes of burrs and stumps of branches, giving just enough of a handhold to avoid being pitched off at the first spine-wrenching drop. Ryan couldn't worry about Traitor, hoping that his old leader would be clinging on behind him. If he wasn't, then he was dead. And nobody worried about a dead man. Amidst the turmoil and blinding, freezing spray, the trunk was tossed around like the flotsam it was, actually revolving its own length, so that Ryan had the illusion that they were traveling backward through the tomb-like walls of the endless canyon. Once they seemed to fall vertically for 30 or 40 feet, plunging deep below the river into a bottomless pit of black, icy water. The breath froze in Ryan's lungs, and the strap of the styre wrapped itself around his neck like the tentacles of some subterranean kraken. They rolled over through 360 degrees, and Ryan was so disoriented that he wasn't even sure whether he was still holding on to the uprooted willow. Finally, the trunk emerged from the deeps like a sub-to-air missile, exploding into the silvered blackness, then crashing down again, spinning in a succession of swirling, saw-edged pools and shallows. There was a brief moment of stasis, a beguiling, treacherous few seconds of stillness. Ryan risked a quick glance behind him, and was relieved to see the drowned rat figure of Traitor still clinging on, the armalite still strung across his shoulders.
How's it?
It was like being slammed into from behind by a 300-pound boulder. The gentle pool where the willow had rested for a dozen beats of the heart vanished, and they rattled down another series of savage, jolting steps, each of them threatening Ryan's precarious hold on the slick, wet wood. Nothing else mattered anymore but to lie flat, the river surging up over Ryan's head and shoulders, and he knew that at some point, all of the suffering would cease, either in safety or in death. It eventually ended in a final series of racing rapids, the teeth of the rocks tearing long strips up the bottom of the willow trunk, making Ryan and Traitor's fragile holds even more dangerous. And then they were through. Ryan had kept his eye closed for what seemed hours, knowing that there was no point in seeing what was coming. Not when you didn't have an iota of control over it. Now he blinked his pale blue eye open once more, sensing a change in both the pace and movement of the river.
Traitor! Traitor! You okay back there?
They were in a wider, shallow section of the canyon. The walls were still 1,500 feet high above them, but the gorge itself was less constricting, the actual river nearly 50 feet across, meandering through willow-lined shallows. Ryan glanced behind them, seeing the towering column of spray hanging in the moonlit air, showing the white water that they'd run through and survived. Immediately at his back, Traitor was still lying flat on his stomach, arms and legs spread, as if he were riding the coils of some monstrous sea beast.
Hey, Traitor! We made it!
Who gives a flying fuck? I don't have an unbroken bone in my body, Ryan. Half my guts are stuck in my throat, and the other half's hanging out my ass.
Sit up and look around.
They were moving at a little more than walking pace now, the shore unrolling past them. Ryan looked farther down the canyon, then rubbed at his eye again, trying to make sure what he'd seen. It seemed like the walls were closing in again. Out of the corner of his eye, he thought for a moment that he'd spotted a ruined building, perched far above on the edge of the chasm. But he wasn't certain of it. The certainty was that he could see more of the dread spray less than a quarter mile ahead, and it seemed already that the uprooted willow, setting markedly lower in the river than before, was starting to move faster again.
Oh, fuck me!
It took less than 5 seconds for Traitor to realize the danger of their situation.
Oh, we're fucked.